This week, big news. The premier Masonic Education Lodge, maybe in the United States, is having a retreat. What are the details? What's going to happen? When will it be? All of that will be revealed. We'll follow that up with a reading of the next three parts of Christine Wilson Slack's series on theurgy and Freemasonry. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 629. I want to thank our contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners of the WCY podcast for making this show possible. If you're curious on how you can help support the WCY podcast, listener-supported Masonic education, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out your various options. I do want to mention we're in the midst of getting quote on a brand new pin design. And if you're out there waiting for a pin, this is why. You have not received it yet. I do have to apologize. It looked like we had enough pins. We fulfilled an order that came in last minute, and then a few other orders came in after it, and it looks as though we were out of pins. I don't know what happened with our inventory control. Usually we order and have enough pins on hand, and we didn't. So I was looking and scrounging around in travel bags trying to find pins and things, and if I find them, I will send them out as soon as possible. But if not, please contact me if you would like a refund, or if you'd like me to just send the brand new pin when we get that. Whatever you'd like, I will take care of it for you. And my thanks in advance for your understanding and your patience. In the news, lots of great stuff happening. I'm not going to touch the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction bit that just came out in your email. If you're a member of the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction, you likely got it. As far as presentations go, March 16th, 2024, I will be doing a talk, I believe, at a chapter and council joint meeting in the Chicagoland area. I'll have more details posted to the website or on our Facebook feed. April 2nd, I'll be doing Esoterics 101, and that will be up in Middleton, Wisconsin, at Middleton Ionic Lodge, number 180. It should be a lot of fun. We'll talk about schools of wisdom, hidden symbolism, hints at an ultimate revelation, and Freemasonry's place in and on the field. April 6th, I will be at London's Day of Masonry. I'm a guest lecturer there. That will be at London Masonic Center up in London, Ontario, Canada. Then April 13th, I'll be doing the Tetragrammaton, the Lost Word for Richmond Randolph Lodge, number 19, in Richmond, Virginia. I also need to mention March 23rd. Well, what's happening on March 23rd? The Illinois Lodge of Research kicks off its first symposium of a tri-annual symposium series. Three of these symposiums over the year and in various areas of the state to ensure that Masonic brethren all over the state have an opportunity to see some presentations. We are super excited that our keynote speaker is our Right Worshipful Senior Grand Warden, Austin Jean Smith, who has a great deal of passion for Masonic history, and in particular is a subject matter expert on the history of the Grand Lodge of the state of Illinois. He has probably forgotten more than I'll ever know about the history of the Grand Lodge of Illinois. And our theme is, of course, history for the event. Brother Darren A. Laners will be there as well presenting, and I'll be there as well doing a presentation, likely doing the Colonial Freemasonry presentation. Where is this going to be? Well, on March 23rd, we'll be at Normal Masonic Lodge number 673 at 614 East Lincoln Street, Normal, Illinois. You're going to have some coffee and donuts at 8:30, and then we're going to kick off presentations at 9 a.m. What's the cost? It's free. Just come out. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you are going to come, we do ask that you RSVP. Shoot me an email at admin@wcypodcast.com, or you can simply reply to the email that you received if you were on the Illinois Lodge of Research email list. A very exciting event, again, happening March 23rd. Free. All Master Masons, all Fellow Crafts, all Entered Apprentices, and heck, Why not bring your prospective brothers too? Nothing secret about history. I look forward to seeing you all there. Perhaps one of the most curious things that has come out recently on the interwebs in the land of Freemasonry is hints about a retreat that will be happening. This is confirmed. I will give you these very interesting and premier details, I should say. A few years ago, we held MasonicCon Chicago in 2020. This was the year after the South Pasadena Masonic Lodge held their MasonicCon event in 2019. And I have always just decided that we will not do a MasonicCon in the Chicagoland area the same year that South Pasadena Masonic Lodge also does a MasonicCon. And that is just because there are so many MasonicCons that are happening these days. We don't want to make you have to pick and choose and all of that. So, our lodge at Space Novum had decided the success of last year's MasonicCon was large, and we all agreed that it was a positive thing to do. And with that, some members decided that there would be something even cooler to do this year. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about that right now. This is your invitation. Join Space Novum Lodge, number 1183, Illinois' premier Masonic education lodge, for the Working Tools Retreat. This will be a transformative journey, blending contemplative exercises, enriching education, and engaging fellowship activities. Experience deeper connections and personal growth within our fraternal community, where tradition meets innovation to ignite profound insights and lasting bonds. The exclusive nature of this event provides a platform to build lasting connections with brothers whom you might not otherwise ever have known. Our full concierge retreat begins at a venue just outside Chicago with a Friday night gathering featuring a lighthearted presentation titled The Masonic Handshake, shedding light on one of our lesser known brothers. Saturday offers a mix of master classes and contemplation sessions led by esteemed Masonic leaders. Our day concludes with a steak dinner and a chamber of reflection-styled contemplation led by yours truly. And after an evening of connecting with like-minded friends and brothers, we're going to share a meal and part ways on Sunday. The all-inclusive cost for everything is $425. Now, this is less than similar Masonic events like Masonic Week, conferences typically costing $500 or more in hotels, food, and attendance fees. This is all baked in. The Working Tools Retreat has limited availability, and it will fill up quickly. You can visit spacenovum.com/retreat for more details. So again, a sample of activities is going to include guided meditations, prayers and reflections, world-class presenters, interactive meditative experiences, masterclass presentations. When will this be? June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd this year, 2024. The price of $425 is paid in installments. It covers your room. It covers participation. All your meals on Saturday and Sunday. Access is on a first-come, first-served basis. And when we say limited, we're talking about less than 20 people. So you go to the website. Upon going to the website, spacenovum.com/retreat, you will find a spot right at the bottom that says Get on the List. You'll click that. It'll open up a Google form. Give us your information. And if that puts you on a list, here's what happens. Upon the submission of that application, you will receive an invoice at an upcoming date for a non-refundable down payment of $150 to assist us in securing the venue space. So down payments will be accepted until the maximum participation number is reached, at which point you'll be placed on a wait list and notified if anybody else has canceled. So more to come as we move closer to the event, but again, this is going to be happening June 21st through the 23rd, 2024, and we are very excited about this opportunity to share together, to come together, pool our resources, and remove ourselves from the world and come together for a little bit and share each other's fellowship, knowledge, wisdom. If you were listening last week on TMR and I mentioned a little bit about this, dropped a little teaser, that's what this is all about. So let's get into the education this week. Now, I had said that I wanted to read over a series of weeks the rest of the parts from Christine Wilson Slack's The Theurgic Foundation of Freemasonic Ritual. It was in four parts. We read the first part last week, and we also added in a wonderful Masonic Mythbusters segment. This week, rather than step into another Masonic Mythbusters segment, I wanted to go ahead and get through parts 2, 3, and 4 of the Theurgic Foundation of Freemasonic Ritual. Let's get into it. The Theurgic Foundation of Freemasonic Ritual, Part 2, by Christine Wilson Slack. I believe that theurgy is not commonly understood in the wider modern world. To define it in modern terms, we call it divine magic. Jeffrey Cooperman, author Living Theurgy, a course in Iamblichus' philosophy, theology, and theurgy, calls it God working. While theurgic practices and practitioners had been in place for thousands of years previous, it wasn't until the 4th century CE, writing of the Chaldean oracles, that we have written evidence of theurgy. Quote, "For the theurgoi do not fall under the fate-governed hand," end quote. From this 2,000-year-old fragment of writing, we understand that those who practiced theurgy were considered in charge of their own destinies. Through this societal and cultural shifts over the course of thousands of years, the knowledge and use of the term magic has become personal, individual, disassociated with religion and holiness. There are many reasons for this alteration. However, as members of a modern mystery school that developed from Neoplatonic philosophies, Freemasons must consider and remember the original source of this power. As mentioned above, divine, omnipotent power was and is magic. In order to achieve understanding with the gods, a process of spells, invocations, rituals, and usages of divine symbols was necessary to bring about divine communion. This is done today, still, in most major religions and in some of our secular offshoots from religion. We have eggs at Easter, lights at Hanukkah, the Sufi dervish. Communion is symbolism in theurgic form, as is the use of the classical physical elements to the three journeys. To achieve the desired results of perfecting humanity, Freemasonry is an experiential process that quickens the evolution of the individual, which in turn develops the whole of humanity. The first aim of esoteric Freemasonry is to develop the unused and underdeveloped talents and capacities. What is the goal? To what end? The neophyte is told that, quote, "The facts of the invisible world were revealed to the pure, and thus within each religion men were found, who, knowing the secrets of this world, could explain and defend religion," end quote. How does one become adept enough to be able to grasp the facts of the invisible world? We do this through a series of allegories and the contemplation of symbols found in our initiation and all other Masonic rituals. The process of Freemasonry is not to relate or instruct what symbols mean, as it is adogmatic. However, there are guideposts, landmarks, which tell the neophyte that this is Freemasonry. In order to gain the ability to work as an officer in ritual, the initiate must spend time after their initiation learning the rules, regulations, mores, customs, and hierarchy that Freemasonry outlines. Neophytes are required to study and to act on those studies with questions and contemplations to cultivate their own cosmology. More than this, the neophyte is instructed to develop the gifts with which God has endowed him, amongst many other improvements to his character. These are well laid out in the first degree traditional charge, one which every apprentice must listen to prior to taking other degrees. The foundation of these teachings is not to force someone to follow the rules. It is a structure laid out whereby the neophyte is guided to find their own path through the darkness, to have their own revelations, and to make crooked things straight. This is done through observation, silent contemplation, and asking questions. This method is the basis for our Masonic work and should be applied throughout our Masonic career. Perhaps this is why it is often said that all Masons, regardless of the degrees they pass through, are always in the first degree. I want to be clear that Freemasonry can't explain to the individual every pattern, every symbolic meaning, or every allegory contained within its rituals. Freemasonry provides opportunities for its adherents to exercise and grow the capabilities required to develop those unused and underdeveloped talents. While this specific objective of esoteric Freemasonry is not exactly theurgy, it is required to be able to move into the next two theurgic aims as listed above. It should be noted here that this is the reason I believe that philosophers were the first theurgists. To comprehend divinity, we need to appreciate and revere nature, to read the symbols and patterns there which inform us of the divine will. Ancient philosophers studied all the parts of human experience and thus come to understand the divine nature of the entire universe to develop their cosmology. Only then could they seek to commune with divinity and further the knowledge of the human race. Part 3. The second aim of esoteric Freemasonry is to guide the neophyte to understand the cycle of life and death and the physical spiritual path we are all destined to take. This is achieved through what the pre-Socratic philosophers called katabasis. The meaning of this word is to march in descent. The analogy used was the descent into the underworld to gain knowledge, understanding, or a desired personal result. Many of the ancient mystery initiations were built on the myth of a human demigod or god descending into the underworld to converse with Hades, for example. For Empedocles, his death in the crater of a volcano was indicative of his descent into Hades, and was thereafter esoterically represented by a mixing vessel, a crater, where the components of earthly and spiritual matter were separated. Like Freemasonry, these initiations were allegorical, with each aspect representative of a greater concept. Katabasis is evoked in the pre-ritual ceremony for the Masonic neophyte. In many Masonic organizations, they use a chamber where the candidate must reflect on his life, and this chamber is symbolic of an underground cave. He must descend in order to commune with the spiritual voice inside. He is given instruction on what to do with materials that lay before him, and he is told to separate and unite are the great processes of the universe. Here, the neophyte is surrounded by the reminders of his earthly life. Here, he contemplates the ceremony he is about to undertake, his initiation into Freemasonry. Figuratively, he descended into matter to achieve something beyond himself, to create something that is part of a whole, what that is of his own mind and making. This descent into the bowels of the earth is found not just in the Orphic and Pythagorean mystery initiations, but also in the Eleusinian and Dionysian mysteries. In each of these, the human god must descend to find life once more. We can conceive of these like the hero's journey, as outlined by Joseph Campbell. However, it's not the singular journey of the earthly man's heroics, but the heroism of becoming incarnate in order to further the evolution of humanity. The idea is not to reside forever in the earth or on it, but to move through the necessary stages to the next level. The neophyte continues his katabasis when he is asked to prepare himself for induction. This is reminiscent of the pools of Lethe and Mnemosyne, forgetfulness and memory respectively. To drink from the pool of Lethe, forgetfulness is to forget past lives, lessons learned, and our divine nature. In the Orphic and Pythagorean mysteries, the neophytes were directed to drink from the cup of Mnemosyne, or memory, so that they may be able to get off the wheel of reincarnation into matter and commune with the gods. This direction to drink in these ancient ceremonies comes after the neophyte declares that I am a child of the earth and starry heaven, but the heaven is my birth. This is answered with the following dialogue, quote, when you have drunk, traverse the holy path with which other initiates and Bacchants tread in glory. After that you will rule amongst the other heroes. End quote. Here in Freemasonry, our neophyte is given a similar challenge to fall, not in the struggle, but to conquer. The would-be Freemason must continue this katabasis until he reaches the point where he has given up his physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual substance and become his pure self. This process is enacted by the entirety of the officers of a lodge for all initiations, and the divine magic, theurgy, is guiding the candidate. In this instance, the officers are the theurgoi, those that perform the divine magic in the vehicle of the entire ritual. Why can't one simply exercise katabasis on their own? We, in fact, do experience it on our own if we see that we enter this earthly life alone. We remove ourselves from the entirety of consciousness, a veritable pool of thought to become singular and individual. This is the human experience after all. However, in order to remember our ancestors' words, our heavenly birth, we need to remember what it is like to work together with all consciousness. We require others who have traveled the path, remember, and are trained in the ways of communing with divinity via theurgy to help us along the way. While we may be a world of individuals, we are not seeking to stay here. We're seeking to achieve henosis, which we will discuss in Part 4. Part 4, the third aim of esoteric Freemasonry as outlined in our first three posts, is that of henosis, or the unity of the human with the divine. To understand henosis, we need to briefly look at the Neoplatonic cosmology, the spiritual universe according to Plotinus, results from a series of emanations from the source, or divinity, to hen, the divine, the deity without quality, nous, mind and universal consciousness, psyche, the soul of the individual and of the world, physis, or physis, nature and matter. In this Neoplatonic Greek cosmology, there was no descent into an underworld as there was no underworld. For them, katabasis was the descent of the soul into a physical body upon incarnation. Hades was allegorized and viewed as the world that we and all beings inhabit. Therefore, there was no need to descend to understand divine consciousness. The only way to go was to ascend katabasis. Consequently, in order to achieve unity with the divine, the human needed to raise himself through the emanations of the divine. Anabasis and theurgy was the means by which this anabasis was and is achieved. The use of theurgy in the practice of spells, incantations, invocations, and ritual movements was developed primarily by Porphyry, Iamblichus, and Proclus. But these developments were built off the earlier work of Empedocles, Pythagoras, and Plato. Early Neoplatonist works, particularly the Chaldean oracles, cited the many spiritual beings who traveled within and between these emanations, who lived within each realm. References to these beings have lingered until today, albeit in different forms and achieving different purposes. Examples are angels, demons, devas, and elementals. These beings are invoked and requested to help the neophyte on their journey so they make no missteps or misspeak. The guide, the neophyte, and the work at his request, and this is done in Freemasonry by the officers and attendees at an initiation ceremony. Medieval theurgists took the writings from the Neoplatonists and moved them even further towards these spiritual beings, becoming active intermediaries for the human toward the source. With the advent of Christianity, the beings split into those that were for personal gain and those that were for humanity's gain. Personal gain was considered evil and self-serving, whereas those that worked for humanity or Christianity were for the betterment of all. Theurgists would summon angels to convene with and seek advice from, so that they might receive God's will. The theurgists would ask for prophecy or scripture to be explained to them, and to understand further the nature of the physical universe, so that they may control it. It's from this time period that we see the idea of magic being evil, growing in stature. Looking at the doctrine of emanation with a Masonic eye, Freemasonry has continued this tradition and taken back some of the ideas of achieving henosis that originated in antiquity. From the point that the neophyte has, in his initiation, traveled his journey until he's poised on the threshold of a heavenly world, he is moved from his earthly existence and is within the realms of his birth as a child of heaven. From here, a series of powerful actions take place to bring him through the final portal to the level of the next emanation, in this case, psyche, the place of the personal and world soul. He is the presence of the beings who work at this level. The officers and columns of Freemasons within the lodge also present are those intermediaries that exist between the realms of psyche and physis, attempting in a temple not made with hands eternal in the heavens. He has achieved this anabasis through all of their theurgic efforts. One thing many neophytes experience during this time in the ceremony is the sense that the room is full of people, and that there are many more beings in attendance than actually are. Couldn't this portal, constructed within the center of the temple and opened by divine ritual magic, be the reason for this feeling? There are many, many more aspects to the Masonic ritual which could be considered theurgic, and much more to explore throughout the degrees of Freemasonry. The Neoplatonist philosophy which informs so much of Freemasonry should not be considered only a mental pursuit. We derive much of the active principles of Freemasonry in these Neoplatonic works, and delving into these origins enriches our ritual a hundredfold. In fact, to fully achieve the initiatory anabasis, every Master Mason must consider themselves a theurgist. This is not to say that Freemasons should learn spellcasting or create their own invocations, especially in modern, uneducated, and profane sense of theurgy. The theurgy aspects of the ritual are already deeply embedded in all that we do before, during, and after the lodge meeting. The theurgist is a practitioner of divine magic, not a practitioner of magic in the world of appearances. We are educated by means of charges, writings, and study to just begin to understand what is necessary for the improvement of all humanity. Active participation in Freemasonry educates the neophyte in what is necessary to journey from the practical aim of awakening our underdeveloped capabilities towards, I believe, henosis, the goal of esoteric Freemasons for all of humanity. Christine Wilson Slack. Now, this entire series can be found, I believe, even part 4, on the Universal Freemasonry's website. I'll put a link to their website in the show notes for you to check out all of the great articles they've got. That's it for this week. I want to remind you once more to check out Space Novum's The Retreat, spacenovum.com/retreat, to learn more and to lock in your chance to be a part of a gathering where we will be working on ourselves with our Masonic tools. I want to thank our producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners of the WCY podcast. If you're interested on how you can assist this show, listener-funded Masonic education, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, check out the various options, and I thank you in advance for any considerations. That's it for this week. We'll talk to you all next week. And until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
WCY Media.
Next, the is not.